All right, so are you ready to get deep? Today we're talking about something really important to me, and that's making sure diversity and inclusion are actually happening, not just something people talk about.
Yeah, it's like moving beyond the buzzwords and checking boxes.
Exactly. We need to figure out how to actually weave multiculturalism and social justice into group settings. Like, think about team projects at work or in school.
And what's exciting is that we're going beyond, like you said, just a workshop or checking off a box on a list. This deep dive is about looking at how we can create an actual sustained culture of awareness and understanding. You know what I mean?
For sure. I'm all about workshops, don't get me wrong, but they can sometimes feel like a band-aid, like just a quick fix.
Exactly. So what's the alternative?
Well, the source material we're diving into today is a 2022 article from the American Journal of Psychotherapy,
Okay.
and it's called Multicultural Streaming in Group Psychotherapy Supervision.
Interesting title.
I know it's a mouthful, but stick with me. The article was written by a group of folks from the University of North Texas and Augusta University, and they've got some thought-provoking ideas.
I'm intrigued already.
Oh, you will be. So the main idea is this: instead of treating multiculturalism and social justice like separate topics, they should be treated as a continuous stream of knowledge and awareness that should be part of every interaction. It should just flow naturally.
That makes sense. So instead of these topics being siloed, they should be woven into the fabric of the group.
Exactly. I'm glad you used the word woven because that's kind of the perfect metaphor, I think.
Right.
But can you break it down for me a little bit? What does that actually look like, in practice?
Okay, so picture this. You've got your multimedia streaming service, right? But instead of movies or music, it's constantly delivering content related to multiculturalism and social justice.
Oh, I like that analogy. So it's like a constant feed of information and insights, but it's not just passively absorbing it,
Yeah,
right?
it's about engaging with the content, discussing it, applying it to the group's experience.
So it's more than just having a diverse group of people in the room.
Absolutely. It's about cultivating an environment where everyone feels seen, heard, and respected no matter their background.
And that takes effort, right? It has to be intentional.
You got it. And that's what I love about this article. It doesn't just talk about theory. It walks us through a real-life example of how they actually put this idea of multicultural streaming into action with a group of psychotherapy trainees.
Okay, so tell me about this group. Were they like super diverse?
Very much so. It included people from all sorts of different backgrounds and identities, which made these considerations about multiculturalism even more crucial.
Makes sense. The more diverse the group, the more important it is to be mindful of those differences.
Exactly. And from the very beginning, they made it a collaborative process. It wasn't just a supervisor saying, okay, here's how we're doing things. It was a team effort to figure out how they were going to prioritize these issues and work together.
Oh, that's smart. I bet that helped everyone feel more ownership over the process.
It did. And they came up with a really detailed action plan.
Really?
Yeah. It outlined their definition of culture, their commitment to making these issues a priority. And they even had some really creative action steps that they planned on taking.
So they really put in the work to think it through.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Okay, so what kind of action steps are we talking about? Anything particularly cool or innovative?
Oh, yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. One that stands out to me is how they used what's called the addressing framework.
Addressing. Okay, I'm listening.
It's a tool that's used to understand a person's identity, but like in a really holistic way. So it takes into account things like their age, race, ethnicity, disability status, religion, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, indigenous heritage, national origin, and gender.
Wow, that's a lot to consider.
Yeah, it is. But the point is to make sure you're seeing the whole person, all the different facets of their identity, not just focusing on one aspect.
I get it. It's like, how people say, don't judge a book by its cover. This is like, don't judge a person by just one aspect of their identity.
Exactly. And it's not just about understanding intellectually, it's about fostering empathy and compassion. They also talk about using a social identity wheel, which is a visual tool that helps explore different aspects of our identities and how they intersect.
I'm a visual learner, so I love that idea of a wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going deep into the complexities of identity and how our identity shapes the way we experience the world and interact with each other. But how do they make sure that these conversations are actually productive and respectful?
That's where the idea of cultural humility comes in.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that we all have biases and limitations in our understanding of other cultures. It's about approaching those differences with curiosity and a genuine desire to learn.
So it's less about being an expert on every culture and more about being open to being wrong and being okay with that.
You got it. It's about recognizing your own limitations and being willing to learn from others.
Humility.
Yeah.
I like that. So is cultural humility like a set of rules or guidelines?
Well, they actually did create a set of ground rules, specifically focused on fostering cultural humility in group settings.
Ground rules? Like for kindergarten?
Uh-huh, kind of. But seriously, having some guidelines can be really helpful when you're talking about sensitive topics like identity and culture.
I can see that. What were some of the ground rules that they came up with?
Some of the ones that stood out to me were entering the conversation with an open mind, being respectful of different values and opinions, and really focusing on understanding each other's experiences.
That's awesome. I can see how those ground rules would set the stage for some really insightful and meaningful dialogue. Did the authors mention how the group felt about this approach?
They did. They actually included feedback from the supervisees in the article, and it was overwhelmingly positive.
Wow. So it sounds like it really resonated with them.
It did. They said they felt a sense of safety and support in the group, which allowed them to be more vulnerable and authentic in their discussions.
That's amazing. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Creating a space where people feel comfortable being themselves and sharing their true thoughts and feelings.
Precisely. And it highlights how this approach isn't just about ticking off diversity boxes. It's about creating a real shift in how we relate to each other and how we approach these conversations about complex issues.
Yeah, I'm starting to see how this multicultural streaming concept could be applied in lots of different contexts, not just therapy.
Exactly. And that's actually what we're going to dig into next. We'll explore how these principles can be applied to workplaces, community groups, even families.
I am excited about this. Let's take a quick break and then we'll dive into those real world applications.
Sounds good. You know, something that really stuck out to me about this approach is how it's not about avoiding conflict or pretending like everyone's the same.
Right. It's about embracing the differences.
Exactly. It's about acknowledging and appreciating those differences, you know, and also at the same time, finding common ground.
Yeah. Like, how do we create a space where people feel like they can voice their unique perspectives? You know, and without it turning into a battle of who's right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that happens all the time, even in groups that are supposed to be all about diversity.
Oh, totally. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that's where cultural humility is so important.
Yeah.
It's about coming into these conversations, you know, with a genuine curiosity and a willingness to learn rather than thinking you have all the answers.
It's about being open to being wrong.
Exactly. Being open to being wrong and having your assumptions challenged. And that's where those ground rules that they outlined are so helpful. They create that safe space for those conversations to happen respectfully and constructively.
Yeah, I can see that. So you mentioned earlier that this approach could be used for all sorts of groups, not just therapy. You know, I'm curious to hear more about that. Like, how would this multicultural streaming play out in a workplace setting?
Okay, so think about it. You're on a team at work and you're working on a big project. And you've got all these people with different backgrounds, cultures, experiences.
Right.
So instead of just assuming that everyone's going to understand each other's perspectives, you could use this approach.
So instead of just jumping right into the work, you'd take some time at the beginning to set some ground rules for how you're going to communicate and interact.
Exactly. Just like they did with a therapy group.
Oh, yeah. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Because sometimes it's the little things, you know, like how we address each other or how we give feedback. Those things can make a huge difference in making people feel included or excluded.
Oh, for sure. And by thinking about those things from the start, you're setting the stage for a more respectful and inclusive environment.
I like that. So we've talked about being intentional at the start of a project, but how do you keep weaving those multicultural considerations into the actual work? You know, how do you keep it from feeling like just an add-on or like a checklist?
It's about asking questions, you know? Questions like, whose voices are we hearing and whose are we missing? Are we thinking about how our decisions might impact different communities?
I like that. It's like making sure you're considering all angles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And making those questions part of your everyday process, not something you think about afterwards.
Okay, this is making sense to me now. It's about creating a culture where people feel like they can speak up and share their perspective, you know, without being judged, and actively looking for those different viewpoints.
You got it. And, you know, it's not about being politically correct or just trying to make everyone feel good. There's real value in having diverse perspectives.
Right. Especially when you're trying to solve a problem or make a decision.
Exactly. When you have a variety of viewpoints, you're more likely to come up with innovative and effective solutions.
It's like that saying, two heads are better than one. But in this case, it's like many heads with different perspectives are way better than one.
Uh-huh. Right. And there's actually research that shows this, companies with more diverse leadership teams do better financially, and groups that have people with different perspectives are better at problem solving.
So this isn't just about being nice or doing the right thing. It's also a smart strategy.
Exactly. And what's great about this multicultural streaming is that it can be adapted. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's more like a framework that can be tailored to any group.
So it's like a set of principles you can apply in different ways depending on the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's about having an ongoing conversation, figuring out how to create that inclusive environment where everyone feels welcome.
Okay, so let's talk about those ground rules again. I'm curious to hear some examples of how you could adapt those rules for a workplace.
Sure. So one rule could be that everyone approaches conversations with a learner's mindset,
Yeah.
assuming that everyone has something to teach us.
But I like that.
And another one could be to focus on trying to understand each other's intentions instead of jumping to conclusions about what someone said or did.
Well, that's a good one. Because sometimes we misinterpret each other's intentions, especially when we come from different backgrounds.
Exactly. And having a ground rule about giving each other the benefit of the doubt and maybe asking clarifying questions if something is unclear or seems offensive.
Yeah, that's so important because sometimes people don't want to speak up because they don't want to seem ignorant or insensitive.
Right. And by creating a space where it's okay to ask those questions, you can avoid a lot of misunderstandings and hurt feelings.
As we're talking about this, I'm realizing that these principles apply to other groups too. Like, think about community groups or families. All the conflict that comes up,
Yeah.
because of different values or beliefs.
Totally. It applies to any group where people are working together,
Everyone online?
especially online. Think about all the arguments and heated debates online. A lot of times that's because people are making assumptions about each other.
That is so true. People get really fired up online.
Exactly. But if we could apply those principles of cultural humility and communicating intentionally online, it can make a huge difference.
It would make the internet a much nicer place, that's for sure. So this multicultural streaming, it's more than just a theory. It's a way to navigate all the complexities of interacting with other people.
You got it. And the great thing is that we can all start doing this today. It's about making a conscious effort to be more aware, more intentional, more open to learning from each other.
I love that. And I think that's a perfect place to wrap up this part of our deep dive. We've talked about the theory behind multicultural streaming, and we've looked at some real-world examples of how it can be used, but ultimately it comes down to a shift in mindset. Being open to seeing diversity as a strength and seeing our differences as opportunities to learn and grow.
Well said. And it's important to remember that this is a journey. It's not like you arrive at a destination and you're done. There's always more to learn and more to understand. But by taking small steps every day to be more inclusive, more aware, and more humble in how we interact with each other, we can create positive change.
I love that. So as we get ready to wrap up this whole episode, what are some things our listeners can do to start using these principles in their own lives? What can we leave them thinking about?
Okay, so here's a challenge for our listeners. What's one small but meaningful thing you can do this week to put these ideas into practice? Maybe it's starting a conversation about diversity at work or in your community.
Or what about reaching out to someone from a different background and asking them to share their experiences? Or maybe just making a commitment to really listen to those voices that are often ignored.
All great ideas.
Offer.
And remember, even small actions can make a difference.
They can have a ripple effect.
Right. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought from the authors. We all have a responsibility to help create a more just and equitable world.
And that, my friends, is something worth fighting for. Thanks for joining us on this journey of exploration. We'll see you next time on the Deep Dive.
All right, so we've gone pretty deep on this whole idea of multicultural streaming.
We have.
But now I want to talk about, what can people actually do with this information? How can we put this into practice? Well, I think it starts with just being aware.
Yeah.
Recognizing that every group we're a part of, like work, family, online communities, they all have their own unique mix of cultures and perspectives.
Yeah, it's like that saying, right? You don't know what you don't know. We might not even realize how much our own background shapes how we see things.
Exactly. So start by asking yourself some questions, like who's at the table and who's missing? Whose voices are being heard? Whose voices are being overlooked?
It's about paying attention to the dynamics of the group, and not just accepting things the way they are.
Right. And once you have that awareness, then you can start applying some of those principles we've been talking about.
Okay, so remind me what those are again.
Collaboration, intentionality, and continuous learning.
Okay, yeah, those are good ones. So let's break those down one by one. What does collaboration look like in the real world? know?
It's about getting input from everyone involved.
Yeah.
You know, not just the loudest voices or the people in charge.
Right. It's about making sure everyone has a chance to contribute.
Exactly. Make it a habit to ask, what do you think about this?
So even like in a family setting, that could be asking your kids, hey, what do you think about this rule? Is there a better way we could do this that works for everyone?
Exactly. That's a great example.
Yeah.
It's about creating that sense of shared ownership instead of just imposing things from the top down.
Okay, cool. What about intentionality? What does that mean?
It means being thoughtful about how you structure things, you know, like communication and interactions.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. If you're leading a team meeting, for example, don't just jump right into the agenda. Take a minute to set some ground rules for how you want people to interact, you know, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and maybe even just a quick check-in at the beginning, like, how are you feeling today? Is there anything that might be affecting your participation today?
Exactly. It's about making sure people feel comfortable being themselves and sharing their thoughts and feelings.
Okay, I love that. Last one, continuous learning. This sounds like something that's ongoing.
It is. It's a commitment you make to keep learning and growing and expanding your understanding of other cultures.
How do you do that?
Read books, listen to podcasts, talk to people who are different from you.
And be open to being challenged.
Yes. Don't be afraid to have your assumptions questioned. That's how we grow.
I like that. And it's okay to make mistakes, right? As long as we learn from them.
Of course. We're all human.
Yeah.
We're all learning and growing all the time.
I'm getting excited thinking about all the possibilities here. What if every interaction we had, you know, from family dinners to business meetings, was infused with this cultural humility and this intentionality? What kind of impact could that have?
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
We'd see more understanding, more empathy, more collaboration, more innovation.
And it starts with each of us, right?
It does. Every single one of us can make a difference.
So listeners, what's one small step you can take this week to put these ideas into practice? Maybe it's starting a conversation about diversity in your workplace or your community.
Maybe it's reaching out to someone from a different background and just asking them to share their experiences. Or maybe it's just making a commitment to listen more carefully to those voices that are often marginalized.
I love all those ideas. And remember, even small actions can have a big impact.
They really can.
Yeah.
As we finish up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought from the article. We all have a responsibility to help create a more just and equitable world.
And that, my friends, is a mission worth pursuing. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey of exploration, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.